ESPN special only on Undercover Tapes. Hey everybody, this is Al Megan. Welcome to a new UCPN special. And today we have a former Crusader that's an awesome creator out there. Actually has a hit book on her hands right now that's fire on the history of a very awesome old school creator. We're gonna get all into that. I'm gonna introduce the person right now, the amazing one and only Jennifer DeRoss.
Hello, thank you for having me.
How you doing today?
I'm doing all right, you know, staying alive, surviving.
Yeah, thank goodness. Yeah, you need you to survive because we got to see what more else you're going to bring us into the, in the future, you know, because with this awesome book you have out, it's been fantastic. But before we get into that, I just want to have insight into you. You know, I'm sure people want to know, you know, who you are and how that all led to this, you know, and what's going on now as a creator, also get those, you know, feelings from you and see what's going on. So, yeah, let's get into it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so, you know, your early days, you know, you I know, you know, within the Crusaders family when you were here and now with the Sirens, right? If you're still with them, mm-hmm. correct?
Yep.
Okay, you know, within the Sirens family, you are the comic academic, right? I always like that you always use that term.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, what led to you kind of going into that path in life, you know, writing and going into that very, you know, educational side, if you will, of the comic book world?
I would say that really started with my stepdad, actually. I always grew up reading comics, but I didn't really get the depths of what some comics were doing until I was talking with my stepdad about Mad Magazine, specifically the Cold War analogies that were at play in Spy vs. Spy. And it was one of those, like, all of a sudden my eyes were opened to the analysis of comics in a way that hadn't existed before. And when I found out that the University of Oregon had a comic minor, I knew that that was something that I wanted to follow through with. And I really enjoyed taking those classes. I felt like some of the essays that I wrote for those classes were some of my best written pieces, the things that I was most proud of, the things that I cared about the most. And so I decided to make that my field of focus, the modern American superhero specifically, when I went into my master's program.
But how is that program evolved when you were doing it? I mean, you know, I'm sure people are curious, like, you know, a college is teaching a course on comics, you know, what kind of information that they share with you? What's kind of the agenda that they share with you, you know, during those classes to, you know, get you to that point?
Yeah. A lot of it was things that you would encounter in any literature class. So you look at, you know, the text itself. So we would talk about, you know, different effects that you know, different panels give and you know, the narratives in the stories and things like that, different themes and allusions that come up, all of that kind of stuff. But then you also get a lot of the history and the context. And I liked to focus in my more academic side on trying to cover a little bit of everything. I was particularly interested in learning more about world comics because I felt like that wasn't something that I had mm-hmm. really explored on my own. That's where I picked up a love of Argentinian comics, for instance.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Any titles you could recommend to folks right now?
Borderline. Borderline is absolutely amazing. Nice. Eternaut is also very, very good.
Excellent, excellent. Jot those down, everyone.
So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that it's too different from a literature class. And I think some of that was the instructors I had, is that they were primarily, you know, literature people. Although there were some people that came from the more art side, especially the classes that I took on that were involving manga were more focused on the art.
Oh, manga classes as well? That's dope.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. I'm pretty sure our writer Chris Buse would probably dig all that. You've seen him,
Oh,
you know, he's doing his old academics and studying, and we just had a podcast earlier today, and he, you know, keeps finding more tidbits of information. He is so excited. He gets so
he
geeky
does. He does. It's great to watch.
Yeah, so all right, so let's start getting into the seeds of ideas then, you know, when you went off on your own, you know, while we're Oh, actually, even before that, you had mentioned that it was through your stepdad, correct? That you read comics, right?
Well, my comic originally it came mostly from my grandma. I mean,
Okay.
everybody around me read comics. Like my biological father was really into underground comics and
Nice.
like Addams Family and more niche sort of things like that. My grandma was the one who exposed me to superhero comics.
Gotcha. So. Where did your eyes lean to in those early days that, you know, that attracted you to comics? What was the first character that stood out to you? Like, oh man, this is fire.
I mean, honestly, that was the Ninja Turtles. Like, it started
Where?
the cartoons. But
Okay.
yeah, I was quickly reading all the comics. I loved the Archie series as a kid. Like, I read all that.
I don't think
Yeah.
there's any adult out here really that can't say that. They didn't read an Archie book at one point because I know I dug them too, the big
Well,
digest.
I'm talking about the Archie Ninja Turtle books when
Yeah,
they
I
were.
know those. Yeah, definitely. I know the old school ones. They're dope based on the tunes. Did you
Yeah.
not have access to the Mirage ones, the adulty ones?
No, not until much later.
Ah, okay, cool. But that's cool. Hey, everybody has, you know, I've seen in the next generation after me. I don't want to date myself, but it seems that their segue from into comics tends to be the cartoons, which is dope, you know? You know, like yours with the turtles, and I've seen others, you know, watch old school cartoons with Spider-Man, Amazing Friends, or
Oh, yeah.
Defenders of the what was it, Defenders of the World, the Universe. They had the
Universe,
Phantom and all. I don't know if you know that show.
yeah.
Now, yeah, she's like, oh
I
my
didn't
God, how
watch
old are you? Awesome.
that.
All right. So early seeds when when writing for your own started tickling. When did that happen? Early inspiration.
Well, I mean, I started writing the Gardner Fox book when I was still in school, actually. So
Wow.
my first term in the master's, I took a class that was on 19th century archives. And I took that specifically because, well, one, I had experience with archival work. But two, I knew that we had the Gardner Fox collection. And so I knew I
Nice.
really wanted to get in there. And my teacher was nice enough to let me follow my passions. And she, honestly, she
Nice.
supported me through a lot of this. She even was the one that, like she saw it for the bigger project that it was quickly becoming, and she helped me. She was the instructor who approved my independent study over the summer, one summer where I was focusing specifically on studying comic biographies as a
Wow.
form.
Wow. Bless that
Yeah.
teacher.
Yeah, I lucked out. She's an amazing instructor. I'm still in contact with her, thankfully.
Oh, really? See, that's dope. See, that's real people in life right there that continue to stay supportive, you know, and stick with you,
Yeah.
man. That's fire. See, that's one of the keys to success, you know? Keep those connections, you know? Especially with people that
Absolutely.
inspire you. So, all right, so you're digging in. I mean, damn, you have awesome access though to that
Yes.
collection. Jeez. I mean, how did that room even look? Can you dictate or will I get shot if I find out?
Well, unfortunately, I never got to like go dig through his comics in quite the way you might imagine.
Okay.
I would sit in the special collections room, and then I would request certain boxes be brought out to me, and then I could go through the boxes. Depending on who was working on what day, I had more freedom than others.
Yeah, a little bit more sway. Like, hey, Poppy, come on. Give me two boxes today, too. Nice.
Well, and even things like, pulling the comics out of the sleeves, like these were
Oh, cool. Say
comic, like
word.
old comics, and they were comics that were Gardner Fox's
I
comics.
understand. Jeez, really?
So some
That is crazy.
people were very understandably nervous about letting researchers actually pull those comics out of the sleeves themselves.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I'm kind of like that. Ain't nowhere in my book when somebody come over, treat it with respect. I used to have a friend when I was a kid growing up, and this bastard would come over, and he was the type. Oh, he's an old school reader, so he would fold the cover over to the other side, you know, and create that. Oh my God, we'd catch him. Like, what are you doing? How dare you? My spine. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna call it that hard too. All right, so you're digging in. Was there any particular find within that collection that was you were like wowed with?
Oh, interesting question. I would say I never could have anticipated how pivotal his scrapbook was. Like, that became such a central piece.
You had access to his scrapbook.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know, a lot of people used the scrapbook back then. It was a very common practice, but being able to look at the place where he got his ideas from,
I'm dating myself. I do the same shit. I have a notebook full of bullshit ideas, but it's ideas that I do go back in. Yeah. Somebody would look at it, they think I'm a nutcase.
Well, our internal brain processes can kind of look like that to anybody, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, right? Yeah, that's pretty dope. Wow, that is fire access. I can't believe. Was there any tidbits in there that you know you were like, wow, that maybe he didn't do that you realize or anything that stood out in particular from those documents?
I think that one of the things that I noticed most looking through that was how important vocabulary was for him. Like, he had a lot of like pages of slang and dialogue and things that were from different cultural touchstones, like a lot of like British things and he very much was trying to portray culture in the most informed way possible, which sometimes I think comes off not super great. But I think he was really trying to capture something beyond his, you know, with rich, white, straight male born in 1911.
Oh, yeah. That's what we were talking about in ICC, you know, in Comic Collective Podcast, you know, other generational changes. You know, you had a gentleman like this, and then you had the new cats coming in from the new generation. And, you know, ideas didn't blend very well. There was a lot of clashing, you know, unfortunately. But, hey, whatever, you know, from Gardner, right?
He firmly believed in he described it as a brotherhood.
Yeah.
That we all belonged to this brotherhood, and he was not, from what I can tell, any kind of a biased person when it comes to any of that. Like, he was definitely a humanist.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But yeah, it delicate hands sometimes are
required.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in your journey here and to Gardner Fox's history via your amazing book, you know, Forgotten All-Star, a biography of Gardner Fox, which is available on Amazon, folks. I'm going to share the links, everybody. No worries. You're going to be able to order your copy on Kindle or paperback. I'm a collector, so paperback is always preferred, all right? you know, he's the co-creator of DC Comics series like The Flash, Hawkman, Dr. Fate, Zatanna, Sandman. I mean, and then he's one of those, he was the first writer who teamed those heroes together, you know, with JSA and JLA. He introduced the concept of the multiverse. I mean, where was this guy's mind at? I mean, when you're doing this research and you're finding out all the things that he's done, at least this within this little faction of just the DC Comics world. I mean, were there any cool notes that you found from there? Or inspirations of who these people were based on? I put it because everybody's based on somebody, I'm sure.
Well, I mean, Zatanna, I think, is an obvious one because that was based off of her father, Zatara, which I think is one of the more clever approaches to the Silver Age revivals. Instead of just rebooting the character or giving, like, for example, Barry Allen to Jay Garrick sort of switch, like, he just was like, well, this is the daughter.
Yeah, instead of this is the Flash now, exactly. Yeah. I get you there. I hunt it. That feels so much better for me continuity-wise, even though people hate continuity. Why?
you know.
Why does that community have to be so complex sometimes?
I think is one of the more fun aspects of the Golden Age and Silver Age is people could just play in a way that, like, they didn't worry about continuity as much. I agree.
Right.
And there are pros and cons to that. But I think there is kind of the funness of the freeness that they had at that time. But a lot of his inspiration came from random things. For instance, he was really struggling to come up with a second character. Flash Comics was coming out. He came up with Flash pretty easily. That the main inspiration for that was Mercury, which you can see the winged shoes and the helmet.
An iconic suit that has stood the test of time, just like Supes. You know, crazy.
Very think about classic that. Lightning bolt on the front like that. I love it.
Yep.
But Hawkman, he could not figure out, like, he knew he needed a second hero, but he was just kind of staring out the window, confused and upset and wishing that, like, it would be easy. And then, like, a bird came down and grabbed a twig and brought it up. And he was like, now, what kind of a hero could we have that could just pick up a villain like that?
And, like, and
that's where Hawkman came from.
Nice.
So his inspiration came from anywhere and everywhere. I think he was just a really creative person, which I think you'd have to be to write that many stories. Like, we're talking thousands of stories that he wrote.
From what I see, at least, you know, going on in the internets over here, comic book historians estimate that he's written more than 4,000 comic stories. Including 1,500 for DC, because he was also a science fiction author and wrote novels and short stories on top of that.
Yep.
I mean, the dude was a writing machine. My God, I think I'm about to take the name away from Johnny. I think Gardner Fox is the new machine. Jeez, that's a lot.
No disrespect to Johnny, of course.
You know, right? Jesus Christ. This man was doing, up until almost the day he died, he kept working.
Yeah. I mean, he still had plans in the works when he fell ill.
My man, oh my God. He passed in 86, but he worked briefly for Eclipse in 85.
Yes, he did.
Jeez. I mean, talk about passion and stamina and just living, you know?
Yeah. Well, and we have Timothy Truman to thank for that one, which I think is, I had no idea how pivotal his role was until I got to interview him, which was really cool. I actually, he talked about being interviewed for the book at one point, which was one of those like mind blowing moments.
Oh, word. Nice.
I'm just little me, you know, but, awesome. I can hunt that down for you.
Please do.
I think I posted it on Twitter.
Awesome. Please do. I want to share it so people could see. People got to see.
But yeah, like Gardner Fox at that point had more or less given up writing comics. He was still writing a book a year, as if that's like some easy feat. And he had started, he built a board game, actually, which was really cool. And so he was at a convention promoting the board game, and Timothy Truman just walked over and said hi, because he seemed like a nice person. Him and his wife were just sitting in the hallway. And then he ended up going right back into comics. And, you know, that his story could have had a very different ending if he had gotten to write the story that he wanted to write there at the end.
Wow, crazy. Because I know, and again, this is so crazy, because we were discussing, you know, again, you know, generational change, and we know that Fox was pivotal in rescuing Batman, because there was that point in time where Batman was going to get canceled. Mm-hmm. That Batman was going to get done back during the
60s. Which is crazy to think now.
Right, exactly. But they say, yo, you know, you got X amount done, well, now Batman's over. I mean, and then creators like, you know, Fox and Infantino, you know, came, Sheldon Moldoff. I mean, all these cats came up and like, all right, you know, and you know, folks, we wouldn't have a Barbara Gordon Batgirl without Fox. Come on. And Infantino.
That's very true. That's very true. And I love that was another thing that I learned when researching for the book. Gardner Fox's sister was a librarian, like head librarian.
Oh, shit. There you go. Now you know who Barbara is. The real Barbara sending some
people in Cheshire County, I believe. I was really impressed with all the kind words that they had to say about her. She made quite the impact down there.
Yeah. See, the only thing I couldn't agree with him is that he's a Mets and Jets fan. Well, I'm a Yankee Giants fan, you know? we would have been at odds there, you know?
Oh, well.
No, the dude is awesome because, again, you know, he created the multiverse, which is obviously such a big thing. Like, look, for example, just the CW shows.
Oh, yeah.
You see his influence there heavily. I mean, did you appreciate the version of Ciara there in those shows that did you get to watch? And do you approve of Kyo?
That's a hard question. I find CW shows to be CW shows. That's about what I can say.
They're their own damn universe, right?
They are. I think that they do a really good job of playing homage to Gardner Fox, like repeatedly, which I think is amazing. And I wish that we saw more stuff like that. Like the creators really are given
their fans
attention by CW.
Because the people involved are actually fans of the genre, which is great.
Yes. Yes. But I think that they very much have their own takes and they do their own things.
Oh, of course. I mean, we might get the Snyder cut. Come on. Twitterverse is going nuts. If we get that, oh my God. I don't even know. Would it make a difference? Who knows?
I don't know. I don't even know if that would make things better or worse.
Exactly. Just bring on the new stuff. Let it go, folks.
Yeah. Agreed. That's my stance on it. Is what's done is done.
So, and I want to know now because, you know, I'm going to get a little bit more time here because, you know, Fox is interesting, very interesting person. So, He stopped receiving work from DC during 68, you know, over health insurance and benefits to all the creators. I mean, that's a crime.
Yeah.
It was a crime. I mean, did he ever, in your research, kind of get into a better position, or was he stuck like every single old school creator in a very bad situation?
Thankfully, because he was able to keep writing novels, he never fell into the kinds of dire straits that a lot of creators unfortunately did. Thank goodness we have things like the Hero Initiative and whatnot that helps.
Shout out. Absolutely.
Yeah. But Gardner Fox, thankfully, and he, you know, he also came into it in a more privileged position as well. You know, like his wife had money, he had money. I don't think he was ever necessarily concerned about that. But his health was negatively impacted by fighting for his own health care, which is sad. Shortly after he tried to, you know, help with the unionization movement in comics, really. This was an early case of people trying to form a union for better rights and beyond just credits. Like he was fighting for things like retirement, you know, things that we're still seeing
fighting
people
for.
Trying to fight for.
They are. It's so sad. This is years ago.
The stress from that is one of the things his wife strongly believed contributed to the stroke he had.
I'm sure. It's not easy to have to put out that much product and have to, you know, be at an even older age and continuing to have to work because you have to.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Well, you know, but he left us many great things. And if you guys want to find out more about Gardner, please, please check out her book, you know, Forgotten All-Star Biography of Gardner Fox. I will be sharing the links. Now, before we let you go, you know, with the current situation and as a creator, you know, with a family and all, how are you dealing with these current circumstances, you know, and is there anything else in the pipeline?
There, I have been working very hard on that. I hate that it's something that I've considered, but with the coronavirus and all of the struggles that are coming out of that, I admit that I was concerned and I remain concerned about the health and welfare of some of our comic greats, and not just comic creators, but those that started our comic fandom, those that we wouldn't be here without them.
Amen.
And I happen to be working on a biography of Jerry Bales now, the founder of comic, the father of comic fandom.
Wow, nice.
And I personally feel like he was the founder of comic scholarship as well, because he earned his PhD and he approached comics in an academic manner, and that was his passion, was indexing and things like that. So there was very much, without him, we wouldn't have the Grand Comics database, right? Like, that is a direct result of his work. And that's still something that every comic scholar I know uses frequently, because it's where all that information is stored. And so I've been really busy lately. I've been trying to reach out to people, while we still have them, while they can, I don't know what the world is going to look like in 5 years, you know? And I don't want their stories to be lost to history.
See, what a fantastic sentiment there. Absolutely. These are things we got to learn. Because I know during this whole situation, I've been stuck watching documentaries. Just learning. Just so, like, you know, into it. And it is great stuff, man. So where should people go, though, when they want to pick up the book?
Amazon is honestly the easiest. I wish it wasn't. Just because I am concerned about those workers.
Yeah.
But it's also on, Ingram, I think, is the distribution. So, it, bookstores can still pick it up through that.
Oh, nice. So just send over those links. I'll make sure to share it at the bottom of the podcast, so people could go ahead and click away and take out their dollar, so they could get their eyes off the screen and read a book.
And I promise you, learning more about Gardner Fox will make you rethink the entire industry.
Listen, just in the tidbits, while I'm just here chatting with you and I'm looking over, you know, stuff in his life, it's like, wow.
Yeah.
This dude was the man.
Yeah. We have him to thank for so much of what we enjoy about our comic industry as it stands.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's not just DC stuff. You did stuff for EC, you know, Moon Girl, Crypto Terror, Vault of Horror. He even did stories for Avon Comics.
Yes, yes.
Dude, Avon had comics. Holy shit. Wow, not just me. See, my mom would have had me hooked there. Okay, mom, I hope you sell them. I'm going to get comics. Help you. Oh, yeah.
They're related, but
with the name, that's what I'm associating. I know they're definitely not related, but with that name, my mind was blown right now. Like, yeah. Holy smokes, they did have Avon Romance on top of it. Do you not see the correlation here? I would have been a traveling comic salesman. Too funny. All right, so everybody could just keep tabs on you, and not in a bad way, of course, but in a good way, and see what's going on in the life of J.D. Ross and the project that you come up with. Where could they follow you?
Twitter is still the best, at Jennifer DeRoss.
And there you go, folks. You heard it there. So thank you for your time today. It's really appreciated. Everybody go check out that book. Click the links are below. And thank you for your time. Kick ass, and I look forward to the next kick ass book that'll be on the New York Times bestseller list, I'm sure.
Thank you so much.
No problem. And with that, I'm Al Mega. This is another UCPN special.
This is an Undercover Capes production.
Thank you for listening. Make sure to visit ComicCrusaders.com, UndercoverCapes.com, GeekreviewMagazine.com, and our newest venture, SplinteredPress.com.